Friday Strayer, how are you going? You're right, I hope so, it is Friday.
TGIF, am I right?
March 15, is that right? That sounds about right. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm the, host of the official AFL Supercoach podcast. You can see me on AFL Today as well. You can also see my ugly mug on Fox Sports Lab NBA, which is pretty fun. I'm here in Larryama Studios, hanging out, nursing a bung foot, but she's all right at the moment. Lots of anti-inflammatories. That fixes it, apparently. But we have some Aussie gear today to get through, so big weekend ahead as well. So we've got Josh Green, he's injured. Jock Landale is grasping his chance. Back-to-back season high games. And Ben Simmons has just gone under the knife once more for his back, which stinks. But anyway, we'll cover all the games from today in the game wraps. We've got That's Under Knife, All May No Mates, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. There's Yanaz, there's the Unpopular Opinion of the Day, and there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. There's a sweaty, hairy bloke of the week, and a whole huge set of game previews for the entire weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday for you. And that'll be pretty good. I think we'll finish up with the cooking with Bainesy. We don't have a video of this one either today, because I've somehow just managed to, screw up my setup, so I've got no video. Good job, me. Jeez. Anyway, without further ado then, let's get into the damn show. This is episode, 1054 of NBA Australia. Noice. Let's go.
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Well, you better. Especially if you're a bowl of cereal and hot tea. I don't know, man. Shaq just does some weird stuff sometimes.
Chuck, this is awesome. It's really good, Chuck, it's really good.
The cereal and hot tea thing was pretty weird. But Shaq, I mean, you got to watch out for the Shaq attack as well if you're the Thunder. Because his big prediction was that the Lakers or Warriors will beat the Thunder in the first round. I don't know about that there, Shaq. I just don't know. I can see why you'd say something like that, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't agree with it. Let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia, though, with the daily whip around. Sad news right at the top. RJ Barrett's younger brother passed away. So that is just absolutely brutal news for the Canadian Kang. It's a real goddamn shame. So prayers up to RJ and his family. That's just horrible. Other little bits and bobs. Luka Doncic didn't play today for the Mavs in OKC. He's got a hammy, wasn't it? They got an MRI, it was all clear, but it was just a bit tight, so they didn't want to risk it, which is smart. And Kobe White also had an MRI on his hip strain after he got deleted yesterday and hurt himself. The bloke is just averaging a lazy 19.7 points and 5.2 assists, but he could be back where it's like, mild hip strain. The MRI says he could be back as soon as their next game for the Bulls against the Wiz. So that's kind of cool. Love me some Kobe White. The Sixers also, they're signing Kai Jones to a 10-day contract, so that's kind of cool. He's not that bad. He's pretty big, I'll tell you. Oh, geez, Jim, you're not wrong. He's a big fella. Yeah. Kai Jones, officially a big dude. In terms of other news, that's kind of about it for today. There's not a giant amount going on. The big one there, though, that I hit on at the top was that Ben Simmons is actually now undergoing the knife. That's right, going under the knife, which obviously means if you listen to his agent, he's completely failed him. Hey, it's my fault that Ben didn't get the surgery ages ago. We tried everything, and it's on me, man. Yeah, so he has microscopic partial discectomy to alleviate the pinched nerve in his lower back. I can see why the agent would, go and jump through every possible hoop you could to avoid back surgery. Because back surgery, look, you just don't fuck with backs. It's like necks, backs, my crack. Anyway, you just don't fuck with them. It's simple as that. The weirdest part about this sort of stuff now, though, is that every time you sort of read a report about this sort of thing, like whether it be a knee, back, ankle stuff, the surgery was performed at UHealth Jackson Memorial Medical Center by Dr. Timur Yurikov in consultation with Dr. Bath Green. What? Oh, yeah, Timur Yurikov. Oh, that dude is like fucking number one, man. It's like Dr. James Matthews. It's like, no, what? I find it fucking, I know that this is all the tit for tat of the modern day NBA of like, hey man, you give me the inside goss, bro, and I'll name you in there. I'll name you in the report, man. You and your agency, you doctors. Oh, you'll get so much shine, man. It's like, okay. It's kind of fucking gross though. Anyway, this is the second time he's had back surgery in 3 years. That doesn't bode well at all. And the bloke, Box Hill Benny, has played 57 games since the Nets picked him up in the Fat Man Hoop Field Clan James Harden trade. So, a bit of a brutal one. The microdiscectomy is apparently, it gets a small fragment of the herniated disc and gets rid of it. So, yeah, pretty weird. Because he's done this before, right? You remember that's what he did last time after he sort of sat there. Sat out because his feelings were hurt by Doc Rivers and co. Had a sook, tried to come back, hurt his back, had to go and get surgery. Tried to come back again, boom. Here we are, surgery. If nothing else, I feel like the lesson we should learn here is don't waste a fucking year of your NBA prime because you're having a fucking sook. Simple as that sometimes, I believe. Oh, they said mean things about me. Fucking grow up. Jesus. Oh, I don't want to play for this team anymore. Are they paying you? Well, not if I don't play. Then fucking play. Jesus. You know, it probably wouldn't have led to this. The fact that you had, if I know, ramped up out of nowhere, tried to come back onto the court and completely fucked your back. I'm no medical doctor though, so. But anyway, look. It feels like this might be, like, that's it. And it's kind of sad. It's kind of weird. Like, my question for you is, what do you think the best outcome for Ben Simmons' career is from here on out, right? Like, the Nets are saying, like, oh, yeah, this, the plan is to basically have him ready for training camp next season. What sort of player do you think you get for training camp next season if he's just had back surgery? That's my sort of question. It's a pretty fucking short list of people who have back surgeries and come back and are as good as they ever were. So we'll talk about this more and more and more during the offseason, obviously, but I feel like that might be not so much all over Red Rover because he can come back and be like a handy point guard, run the break, play a bit of defense. But if his athleticism is like impinged like a nerve in his back, then that might be kind of, I mean, it doesn't like, he doesn't have a fucking jump shot to fall back on, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, great. You're like a really tall, always hurt Russell Westbrook. Tough. Anyway, now I'm just sad more than anything. Because I love, look, Ben Simmons in his prime, at his peak, actually fucking playing and not having a sook and, you know, refusing to get better at his game. I mean, was wildly fun and entertaining. And I fucking love it. I just want Ben to be healthy. That's all I want. But I think now it just gets, it's more question marks than answers, right? And throwing back surgery in there, and I can understand why the agent didn't want to have back surgery for him. Makes sense. But now he's had to do it. It's going to take a long while to come back. And look, is this another 18-month process? It's gross, man. Gross. Right, let's do some game wraps, though, and get happier. Game wraps. That's right. Phoenix went into Boston and got pantsed. 127-115. This was a forceful win by the Celtics. That was the word I landed on, forceful. They sort of went, all right, cool. Kevin, you're not going to miss any shots early, huh? Check out this. We've got a fully armed and operational Jaylen Brown. Bang. What was it? KD was like 7 of 8 or whatever it was in the first quarter. And you're like, Jesus. Then he hit two more shots the rest of the game. Like, anytime you can get 20 plus from each of KD, Beal, and Booker, and you get 20 from Grayson Allen, feels like you should win that game. But they didn't. Because just the defense that the Celtics can play, and they do feel uniquely positioned to just shut down the Suns, right? between Jrue Holiday, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, and Tatum. Like those sort of four swing dudes that can go inside, outside. Ideally positioned to play defense on Kevin Durant, Brad Beal, and Devin Booker. So KD ends up with the 20 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 turnovers. Brutal game for him. 9-19 shooting, 1-3 from downtown. Like, he always threatened, but geez, just the radar was completely off after the first half. Well, the first quarter. Nurk ends up with 8 points, 20 rebounds, and 6 assists. What a chaos line that was. And you also had 23 for Booker, but he shot 9 of 20 and 1 of 6 from 3. He had 7 assists, 22 and 7 assists for Brad Beal as well. He looked very handy. He was up and about. He did have 3 turnovers. He did have a couple of wonky moments where you're like, what is Brad Beal doing? But anyway. And Grayson Allen hit 4 threes, ended up with 20 points. Bol Bol. Look, when Bol Bol is your most reliable bench scorer, yeah, you're fucked up, haven't you, Suns? And that's what you're doing. Royce O'Neal was horrible, and yeah, Jrue Banks is no answer. Ish Wainwright, turns out he's also very bad. Ish Wainwright and Royce O'Neal combined to shoot 1 of 13 today. Eesh. But for Boston, they were fantastic. Jaylen Brown, incredible, 37-5-3, 26-5-5 for Jason Tatum. Average Al Horford hit 6 of 10 from 3. He had 24. Derek White was great, 13-8-5. He and Jrue Holiday caused all sorts of havoc, 9-10 for Jrue. They went 25 of 50 from downtown, the Boston Celtics. 25 of 50. Now, I'm no math scientist, but that's pretty bloody good. Like, it's easier to play defense when you're hitting every single three, you know? I also love that Joey Muzz tried to, like, you know, stop a bucket going in from Royce O'Neal. It's like, Royce O'Neal's not going to see a fucking shot go down, man. I love you, Royce, but I'm not going to let you fucking get that shot, man. Do you want to come watch the tower with me after? But yeah, pretty crazy. Absolutely loved it. Brown was incredible, and the Celtics just knocked in 1 bajillion threes. Pretty bloody good. Boston now 52-14. Phoenix 38-28. Yeah, Tatum and Durant go back and forth early, which is pretty fun. They were rebounding the piss out of it, and the Celtics were still up, what, 5 or whatever was the first half, and then they just ran away in the third quarter and never looked back. Forceful. I love it. Even without the extreme zinger meal.
Extreme zinger meal.
Bloody good, bro. Bloody good. 25 threes is a lot. Wizards played in Houston. The Jock. That's right. The Jock Landale experience continues. He goes bang again. But also, wow, Washington are bad. They're, like, if you're vaguely paying attention to any sort of Washington game, A, you're a sicko, but B, I get it. 24-9-5 for Denny Avdija. Koulibaly is a dude. Kispert was off today. Kuzma had 23. Poole had 25 off the bench. Whatever. But the Wizards, all you're looking for now is, like, is Denny Avdija something? Is Corey Kispert something? Is Bilal Koulibaly something? And they kind of show you in games like this that, yeah, they are. They still got killed. I mean,
so he got straight killed.
135-119. But sure. Anyway, Wizards are gross. Jalen Green goes bang for 37. Love to see a random Jalen Green game. 5-9 from 3 as well. 27-9 for Fred VanVleet of the Fightin' Van Vliet. Amen Thompson was awesome. I'm going to talk about him at length later, but 20-11-4-3. He was bloody good. And Rock'em Sock'em Block'em Jock'em Landale, the Rooster, 13-5. 16-5 for Jabari Smith. Houston, they moved to 31-35 with that one. Washington, 11-55. The Clippers! So Kawhi actually played in this after bouncing halfway through a game the other day. Came back, went, that's all right, my back's okay. James Harden's shoulder not good though, so Bones Highland got the start instead, and he was really good. He had 11 assists, 4 steals, 17 points. But yeah, Chicago, no Kobe White. Ayo, Dezunmu couldn't hit a shot, and they just didn't quite have enough to hang with the Clippers from really early on. The Clippers sort of just definitely kept them at arm's length, right? Bulls looked a little bit goosed after yesterday's big win. And, like, between Caruso and Dosunmu shooting, I think, was it 7 of 24, I think, between the two of them? Yeah, you're going to have a rough night. It's a rough one. Even DeMar, I think he was 6 of 16 for his 21. So 21-5-4 for DeRozan, 19-6-5 for Vooch. But he, like, this is the game where you go, well, Vooch, you're up against Zoobs. Can you drop 40 on him? And he's like, Vooch is tired from last night, huh? 17, 6 assists and 3 steals for the Crusoe, putting on a Crusoe. Just not enough, though. He had 18 for him. Norm Powell off the bench for the Clippers to back up 28, 5 and 7 from Paul George. He was really good. He hit 6 threes on 7 attempts. 27, 5 and 3 for Kawhi. And Bones had the 17 and 11. You love to see that. Clippers now 42 and 23. Chicago 32 and 35. Destined to stay within 3 games of 500 all season. Philly played in Milwaukee. Good to see Tobias Harris bounce back from the ineptitude of the Knicks game the other day. He flew past his mark in the first half. He scored 3 points this time instead of 0. Yeah. God, he's bad. But the Sixers, look, at least they sort of stuck with it. Made the Bucks really earn this one. Bucks sort of just put them to the sword down the stretch. Like, the Sixers were really threatening to actually win the damn thing. And you're like, oh, God. If the Bucks lose this, this is a big kick in the dick. And then you could just sort of slowly tighten the screws, a couple of big Dame buckets down the stretch, especially Brooke as well, hitting some big threes. Made a big difference. So without Middleton, the Bucks can now sort of roll out that Dame, Pat Bev, Crowder, Giannis, Lopez thing. If Lopez is scoring, then it looks much, much, much more imposing. But the Sixers, this is the sort of game where you're like, that's right. Remember when they had Jimmy Butler? This would be fucking vaguely ideal to have Jimmy Butler. Like, choosing Tobias Harris, you know, the fucking James Harden experiment, whatever, the Ben Simmons trade, whatever. Just the simple idea of Tobias Harris versus Jimmy Butler, like, it's one of the sort of more undercurrenty what-ifs, I think, in the NBA, where Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, Maxey, whatever the fuck else. Like, this is why you have someone like Jimmy Butler and why you go, we just fucking need to keep him. I don't care if Tobias Harris is a good dude. Right? 15, 4, and 3 for Tobias Harris of $35 million worth. I don't know, man. We knew that Ben Simmons had no fucking spine the minute that he was, like, never going to work on his jump shot and was too afraid to shoot. You know, that sort of gear. And Maxey's proven to be an absolute fucking baller. If you had Maxey, Embiid, and Jimmy Butler, this is the game where you go, we've still got Maxey and Butler, we're laughing. But now you got Maxey and Harris, and you're getting slapped around by the Bucks. They're just putting their schlong in your forehead and going, do you like that? And you're like, no! Campaign, 13 points as well. 30 for Maxey, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He's the only one out there fucking trying. Oubre is just like chucking up junk. And if I've ever been right on everything, on anything ever, it's the Oubre experience for Sixers fans going, what the fuck is this? 4 and 13 for 9 points. It's like, yep, that's the Kelly Oubre experience. Then he'll go for 2 weeks where he scores 30 every game. The Bucks though, 32, 11 and 7 for Giannis, 19 for Lopez with 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, went 5 of 10 from deep. Dame hit some big buckets late, particularly buttery mid-range jumper to basically seal this one. 17 and 9 he had. Pat Bev, 6 points, but just dogged, hit a couple of threes. AJ Green hit 3 threes, he had 14. Big win for the Bucks, 43 and 24. Doc Rivers against his old team, 36 and 30 now the Sixers. And then, tell you what, a bit of danger to show Sixers just because you look at those standings. The Sixers are now in 7. They're a half game behind the Pacers. And the Heat are a half game behind them. The last thing you want is to be in the 8th spot by the time that Embiid comes back, you know what I'm saying? Dallas, they went to OKC and lost. Good fight from Dallas, though, without Luka. Josh Greeny, Green goes out in the first quarter, like just a real bad ankle sprain. Oh, that was like, what was it, the second quarter? I don't know. Sort of hits the back of Derek Lively's foot. And I'm just sort of hoping that it's just like a rolled ankle and not an Achilles, because, God, it looked like it fucking hurt. So pour one out for Joshy Greeny Green, old Josh Scott Green. He had 4 minutes, he had the 2 points, and then just over like he'd been shot in the back of the foot. But then they did fight and fight and fight, and they sort of gave OKC everything they could have. Like, their entire approach of, like, let's just leave Giddy open really worked down the stretch. It's like a very easy and hilarious Dallas defensive idea as well. It's like, fuck it. Leave that guy open so he can cover everybody else. And Josh Giddy's like, all right, I'll hit a couple of threes then. And it was good to see Josh do it. But 36 points, 4 rebounds, 12 assists for Kyrie Irving. Without Luka, it was really fun to have the Kyrie experience. He came up pretty short late though. Just ran out of legs, it felt like, and was just like, oh man, I've been carrying this team all game. Shot 12 of 18 in the end, but yeah, a couple of those misses were way off down the stretch. 8 of 11 for Dan Gafford. He's 33 straight field goals. Came to a crunching end with a missed putback. 8 of 11, 19 and 15 he had. 23 for Tim Hardaway the lesser. It's one of those games you go, Tim Hardaway the lesser had 23 points, and you're like, Jesus, 5 of 9 from 3. But PJ Hamilton, Washington, the two of them just can't split it. If PJ even plays a half-decent game, they probably win this. He went 1 of 11. Yeesh. They are the Spider-Man meme. I fucking love it. It's hilarious. 12 of 29 from downtown as a team. Just not quite enough up against this OKC team, which went 16 of 39. Pretty bloody good, man. 31 for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's just like fucking clockwork at this point. 12 of 15 of the line. 27, 4 and 5 for J-Dub. 18 and 5 assists for Giddy. Dort hit a big 3 late. He had 12 points and 3 assists from downtown. And Chet had another big one too. 11 and 8 for him. Really handy sort of Case and Wallace minutes. Big moments from Isaiah Joe. Jalen Williams is handy at times as well. OKC look awesome. They're 46 and 20 now. Dallas, 38 and 29. And the Mavs especially. Like, this is scary hours now, right? Like, you got to... If they could have snuck out a win here, it would have been a big, big, big boost in the arm. But they're still in the eighth spot. They're two games up on the Lakers in the nine. Like, all that matters now for Dallas is to get into, like, the six. They're one game back of the Kings. They're a half game back of the Suns. They really need to kick this into gear. So, bit of a tough one, I'll tell you. I'll tell you. And then the last game today, we had the New York Knickerbockers of New York City go up against the Portland Trailblazers, and it was a bit of a laugher. Held him off like a big kid, push away a little kid on the scon. It's like, you know, when you hold off your little cousin, you're like, all right, keep swinging there, chief. 105-93, they win it. Jalen Brunson was absolutely momentous. Portland was literally dominating and very little else. Even their starters, you're like, it's Tumani Kamara, Chris Murray, DeAndre Ayton dominating, Delano Banton, and Scoot Henderson, who couldn't hit a fucking screen door, side of a barn. 12 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists for him, but he shot 4 of 13. 6 of 20 for Banton for 16 points. Dominating was awesome. 31 and 14 with a block, shot 12 of 21. The Grim Reaper didn't have much to do with anything. Same with Aussie Matty T. And the Knicks ran over the top of him, right? Just sort of that second quarter, 29 to 16, then smashed him from then on. So 45 points for Jalen Brunson. He was incredible. 14 of 30 from the floor. Adonte DiVincenzo and OG both had 12s, but they just sort of, despite going 6 of 29 from 3, it's not very good, didn't matter. They had 50 rebounds, and they held it, they forced 17 turnovers on the Blazers, so just held them off and ran away with it in the end. 39 and 27 now, the Knickerbockers, 19 and 47 of the Blazers. Who was the NBA Star approved performance of the night?
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Oh, my God, that was a knife. Pissed off Jaylen Brown. That's like his full name. Pissed off Jaylen Brown is way more fun than normal Jaylen Brown. 37, 5, and 3, shot 14 of 23 from the floor, 5 of 9 from downtown. Oh, I'll tell you what, he was awesome. And mainly he gets the old that's not a knife because he went to his left to dunk on Grayson Allen. With the steal and the jam, it was beautiful. Jaylen Brown was he has all those games where you're like, this is the dude who signed like the biggest contract we've ever seen. And then he has a game like tonight, and you're like, that makes sense. Going up against Phoenix is the exact game you want him to have. Absolutely unreal. So honorable mention, obviously, to Jalen Brunson with his 45. And SGA really kept his cool against Dallas. Same with Kyrie, just gunning for it, going, fuck it, jump on board, boys. And Giannis, really sort of just going at Philly, but I mean, just punching down when it's like taking on Tobias Harris at this point. And Jalen Green having a random good game. Nice one.
Who was Spud of the night, though?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
Spud of the night. We had 4 of 13 for Scoot, as mentioned, 2 of 11 from Ayo Dosunmu, but we had 0 of 5 for Patrick Baldwin Jr. Jared Butler had a day to forget. We'll talk about him in a second. 13 minutes, 0 of 5 from the floor, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 fouls, and not great in terms of the 0 points. But Royce O'Neal, as usual, the idea of Royce O'Neal is outstrip the actuality of Royce O'Neal. 0 of 7 today in a game that they desperately needed him to step up and actually do a little bit of something-something, and he did not in 27 minutes. 0 of 7, 0 of 5 from 3. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists and a turnover and 1 foul. A rough one for Royce. But of course, PJ Hamilton Washington, 1 of 11. 1 of 11. He is a Spud of the Night Hall of Famer. You might remember he had, the worst Spud game last year. And he's thrown up a couple of one-fers this year. So great job. 1 of 11. You love to see it. Thank you, PJ Hamilton Washington. You are the Spud of the Night. No one did the famous special number, so that's a damn shame, but good on you, PJ. Who's old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? It's probably Rudy Gobert getting dunked on by Wembanyama. Well, he didn't, like, it was kind of figuratively because he was asked about, in French, about contending for Defensive Player of the Year. And Wemby's like, I know that Rudy has a very good chance of winning it this year and it would be deserved, huh? Let him win it now because after that, it is no longer his turn. Yeesh. Rudy's like, what the fuck did I do? Like, you meant to be my buddy, buddy. And this is why the Aussies. Like, this is like a bit of Joe Ingles shit talk, but coming from a French dude, which means he's probably just going to stab him in the back. I'm just saying. Vibes of, definite Russian, French revolutions in Kiev. But also Dan Gafford, it's a bit of an old mate, no mates. The missing the putback after he had the 33 consecutive made field goals is pretty brutal. So he ends up second all time behind Wilt Chamberlain's 35. So bit of an old mate, no mates moment. I'm like, it was a putback. And it's like, oof, that was brutal. Pantsing of the night. Fatty, fatty, fat, fat, pants of the night. Jared Butler was absolutely dropped by drop that boot by Jalen Green. The disrespect hits the shot as well. You need to hit the shot. It's the James Harden corollary right there. But goddamn, Jared Butler just went beep, 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 pew, disappearing off in the distance. Shooting stars all around. Jalen Green got him. Jalen Brown absolutely yammed on Grayson Allen, which you love to see. And Derek Jones Jr., usually dunking on dudes, he got. Absolutely sent back by Jalen Williams with a sick block, who had another sick block earlier in that game too. Jalen Williams is a problem for everybody. That also nicely leads us into better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think he'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Jalen Williams had 27, 4, and 5 today. He is a legit star. God, he's good. He was never, like, going up against Dallas, he never looked, like, overawed. He was just like, fuck it, I'll actually take more shots than SGA. I don't care. 11 to 21, 3 of 5 from downtown, 2 of 2 at the line, 27 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. And 2 of those blocks were fucking spectacular. We also had a bit of Aussie on Isley violence for a bit of the old pants in the night. I think Giddy blocked Dante, which is just, that's just sad. But other better than Lonzo Ball's, Bones Highland with the 17 points, 11 assists, not bad. Denny Avdija, he was bloody good. I've still got a bit of time for a couple of these young Washington Wizards dudes in Kispert, Denny, and Bilal Coulibaly, right? So Avdija has been throwing out these games randomly. He shot 10 of 13 today, 0 of 1 from deep, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, but 24, 9, and 5 with 3 steals. He's having a sneaky okay, like, bloody good year in like what his third or fourth year or whatever it is. That is awesome. I think it's his third season. Yeah. So for this month, he's averaging almost 16 points a game and 8.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, shooting 46% from the floor. The 3-point shooting leaves a lot to be desired, but that's okay. Work on that. We knew that he wasn't a big 3-point shooter. He shot 50% for all of February though on 4 attempts a game. So when he averaged 20, see, he's sort of coming along. It's kind of nice. Just keep an eye on Denny. And then I mentioned him at the top. Amen Thompson. That kid is wicked. I love the Thompson twins. And it was kind of like as soon as the Rockets went, right, we lose Şengün, what we'll do is we'll keep Jock on the bench, bring him in when needed, but we'll bring Amen into the starting lineup. We'll have Jabari He as our bigs, and away we go. And Amen Thompson today was unreal. 28 minutes, 20 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals. 9 of 12 shooting. Absolutely ridiculous. Loved every second of it. He was a weapon. They're both weapons. And if they can just fucking, if they're moron coaches, just realize that, you'd be laughing. Right. Everyone's favorite bit, though. Magic tweet of the day. Another amazing event with Sodexo Magic in the books. This morning, I spoke to 250 Delta Sky Club general managers at the annual GM conference in Atlanta at the new Premier Hotel, Signia Hilton. The best leaders make their employees and teammates better. And my keynote discussed all the benefits of winning together. Thank you to Delta CEO Ed Bastian for the special gift, and to Dwight James, Senior Vice President, Customer Engagement and Loyalty for Delta Airlines and CEO Delta Vacations, for having me. What do we say? Thanks, Magic. I love it. I love that he's like got their entire, like, Dwight James, Senior Vice President, Customer Engagement and Loyalty for Delta Island Airlines and CEO Delta Vacations. That is incredible. Just like listing out their fucking business cards. You legend, Magic. That's so good. All right, finally, Dickhead of the Week.
Dickhead of the Week.
Not too many dickheady vibes. So we go a legend one where the baseline dude finally got the ball to roll off the top of the backboard today in Boston, right? And they gave him the old MVP chance, which is pretty funny. So it's like up there, it's up there, it's up there. And it took him ages to get it down, and then he got the MVP chance. So like all the people are watching and watching and watching. It's like he's got his mop, and then he finally gets it to go, and he gets the MVP chance. That's a bit of a legend of the week. You love to see it. All right, let's do some Yanars right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA
Australia.
You're
listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Yeah, now it's brought to you by the NBA Australia Shop. Get your merch.
Bebo.
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
Yeah, do it. Go to NBAAustralia.com/shop or just click through on the socials. Get a hoodie, get a t-shirt, get a coffee mug, get a stubby holder. Off you go. Help your mate Jim out. Let's do some yeah, now's. Is this just proof that Jock Landau simply needs minutes to succeed in the NBA? Yeah, nah. Well, yeah, but we already had that proof. We called it last year. The weirdest part is that Ime Udoka hasn't played him as fucking like at all this season. So back-to-back games where he's gone for season highs. He played 27 minutes today, 13 points, 5 rebounds, and was bloody good. 1 assist, shot 4 or 5 from the floor, 5 or 6 from the free throw line. That came after the 11, 4 and 5 yesterday with a couple of steals and a block. So basically, you see the uptick in minutes, 9, 5, and 4, 11, 4, and 5, 13, and 5, and he's played 17, 26, and 27 minutes in the last three games. Just play the man, Ime. Jeez. But the good thing is, it's probably meaning that Jock plays himself into maybe not someone picking up the option on that, well, you know, maybe not the Rockets picking up that option on that contract of his, but at least playing himself into another one somewhere else. Fingers crossed. Same vibe. Are the Thompsons the best NBA twins? Interesting stuff. Where's the button for that one? I've got that somewhere, don't I?
Interesting stuff.
That's right. I mean, you've got what? The Morai, the Lopi, the Tompi, the Thompson twins? I don't know. There was like the Tom and Dick, what was it Van Arsdale? They were the twins, weren't they, as well? At Horace and Harvey. It's a bit of a drop off there, though. Keith and Mook Morris. Yeah. I always did say that if you Never trust anyone who always who says, I always say. Never say that. but Amen and Orsar, like, they have, like, such terrifyingly similar games that it was always weird for me that the Lopi, if you combine the two of them, you'd have the best center in the NBA because Robin was always, like, much more athletic and much more defensively minded, and Brook was incredible on offense but couldn't do shit on defense. But Brook has gotten better and better and better at defense over the years. And is, like, now obviously fucking fantastic. But Amen and Orsar could definitely be, like, two of the best ones to ever do it. I love that. I mean, how many, like, I can't remember which of the Zellers. Are any of the Zellers even twins? It's just, like, these fucking, the bloody, the Zellers were just, like, siblings, I think. Because there's, like, 47 of them. Same with the Plumleys. It's the same with the Holidays as well. The Currys, the Antetokounmpos. The Gasols, yeah. Even Jalen and Jaden McDaniels, yeah. But the Thompsons, they're definitely the best. They've got the most upside of the twins in the NBA, I reckon. Chris Paul, he got a bit of praise from Jason Kidd saying he's had an incredible Hall of Fame career. When you talk about the point guard position, he's the blueprint of success. He's going to go down as one of the best to run a team. Yeah, nah. Is he the blueprint of success? Because that kind of leads me into, like, I think Chris Paul is fantastic, but...
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
There's something to be said for always coming up short, right? At some point, you're going to go, was your approach the best way? I know that him getting hurt, injuries are sort of a part of it. But that's got to factor into it. I feel like CP3 raises every team that he played on, raises their floor dramatically. But it does sort of, like, we're going to look back and go, yeah, but there was always still a fucking ceiling on the teams that he was on. Maybe by no fault of his own. His body let him down. He had just crazy comebacks here and there. Some weird bad luck. But at the same time, I don't know. His approach of, like, my way or the highway, I'm a fucking point guard genius. It's like, how often has that actually resulted in an NBA title? And this is, like, one of the things that, like, has kind of sat in my brain for a while. Because it's, like, the same with dominant centers, dominant point guards. Like, the Nuggets... And, like, it's kind of weird. Like, do you consider Steph Curry a dominant point guard? Because it's kind of not the traditional idea of the point guard, what Steph does. Like, he's not out there setting up and getting 11 assists a game, that sort of shit. And you sort of think about the last, what, 20 years. You had Joker win the title last year. You had the Bucks win it 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Warriors in between. So, like, all those four Warriors titles, the Lakers title, with LeBron, the Mickey Mouse one. The Bucks had Giroux, but, I mean, Giannis is there. You had the Spurs always with a scoring point guard, and Tony Parker. You had the Mavs where you had Dirk as your best player. The Kobe Lakers. The Heaters, obviously, with LeBron and D-Wade. And it's like none of them had, like, no dominant point guard. Unless you want to count Steph Curry, which I kind of don't want to. And also KD, basically, you know, dominated two of those series in 17 and 18. It's just a weird sort of setup, isn't it? Like, even dominant centers were sort of like this weird thing. It's like, all right, what do you need? It's like, well, Tim Duncan. It's like, well, he wants to call himself a power forward. And then Jokic comes along last year and it's like sort of all, oh, you go. But it's kind of the thing about Chris Paul. Like, maybe the point guard position in terms of actually winning titles is kind of like you just need a Jrue Holiday kind of dude. Or you think about those sort of, what, the 2020 Lakers where it's like, all right, well, this is just a lot of, it's like a lot of LeBron James. But outside of that, I mean, it was Caruso and sort of stuff like that, right? So, yeah, it's a bit weird. Just saying, it's a bit bloody weird. Anyway, leads us, just saying, Chris Paul. Very, 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 very good. But there's probably a reason he's not won a title. Right, there we go. Let's do a bit of Outback Takehouse. It's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh yeah, 4-for-1, ice cold, Foster's Lager. That's right, oil drum cans the size of your bloody head. And it's only at Outback where you get these. 4-for-1, because no one bloody in Australia is going to drink this horse piss. I mean, beer. So we'll flog it off to you, and away we go. Only at Outback. And today's Flame Grill take is... Adam Silver is now clearly putting a hit out on all the Aussies to avoid being humiliated at the Paris Olympics. Only at Outback. It was pretty fucking scary to see Josh Green go down and then see Dante go down a little bit later for a big hard fall onto the floor. But Dante did come back and was a bit of okay, but yeah, still. Speaking of which, let's do a quick break. Be back with Australian Player Watch right after this one.
This is Shane Heal. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, Australian Player Watch. Had a few of the Aussies in action today. Obviously, the Josh Giddy up. Up against Josh Greeny Green. And your mate, Dante Sexum up Exum. Giddy. I enjoyed the block that he had, but that was pretty good. But anyway, Dante had 7 points in that game, 2 assists, 4 turnovers, 3 fouls, 2 of 8 from the floor, 1 of 2 from downtown, 2 of 2 at the line. Not a great game. He might have been shooketh, though, by Josh Greeny Green going out injured. After 4 minutes, he went 1 of 2 from the floor, 0 of 1 from 3, he had 2 points and 1 turnover. Giddy, the 18-point, 5 assists, 3 rebound, 1 steal, 1 block, 3 turnover, 4 foul game. Had a bit of everything. 5 missed threes, 2 of 7 from downtown, 8 of 14 from the floor overall, though. Really enjoyed it. They gave him space and went, fuck you, I'm going to shoot this 3, check it out, bang in your face. And that's how OKC reasserted themselves in that fourth quarter. So, love to see that from the Gidmeister. I think it was the fourth quarter. Sounds about right. But they just left him way open, and he's like, cool, neato burrito, check this, kapow. So, off he went. Let's see. Yeah. It was like 9 minutes to go. That's right. They'd gotten back within 4. He missed a 3. Then just went fucking bang. Nailed a big one. And loved it. So good job for Gids. Love to see it. Dante, bit more of a question mark. Just around that pretty rough game and then the tough fall. But hopefully he's all right. The Grim Reether, the Great Barrier Reef, 0 of 2 from the floor in his 11 minutes. He had 0 points, 3 rebounds, 1 turnover. And Aussie Matty T, Matisse Thybulle, in 21 minutes, went 2 of 6 in terms of shooting and 1 of 4 from downtown. He had 5 points, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 rebounds to go with 2 turnovers. And, of course, I already mentioned Jock Landau, but another season high for him. 13 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. 4 of 5 shooting from the floor, 5 of 6 in the line in 27 minutes. You bloody legend, man. Love to see it. All right, sweaty, hairy bloke of the week. It's Denny Avdijar. Jim, why were you watching so much of this Washington game? Well, I'll tell you. I might have been betting on Amen Thompson, and he came through for me in big, big, big way. But also, I'd backed Rock'em Sock'em Block'em Jock'em Landau to go for at least 10-4. And guess what? The big fella came through big time as well. So you love to see it. But I did watch Denny Avdija, and I love watching Denny Avdija because he's got such a weird, funky Euro game where you're like, if he can learn to shoot, he's going to be like the kind of dude that you want. I love that. Nice. Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. We had a couple of good posts, I think, over... There we go. There's Jock walking on the red carpet. He's got those big long jeans of his and the coffee cup again. Good on him. That's right. He's big upping the Melbourne United playoff photos. Shit. I wonder if I'm in the background of that one. I might have to have a look at that one later. Thanks, Jock. I might be in that. Oh, a picture of the missus. Jesus Christ. Yep. All right. She's in the bathroom watching one of his games. Love heart emojis. And then the Jock Jam. That is a nice dunk. Good to see him get his season high 13, though. Right, let's do some game previews for the weekend. Actually, how are we on the picks today? I think we did, what was there, 6 games, I think, on yesterday's picks. I did reserve the right whether or not Kawhi played to change that to the Clippers in that one, because they were still, that shorted down to -5.5. And once I heard that Kawhi's played, I jumped on that. So had to change it from Chicago +6.5. So I think that meant we went 4 of 7. Yeah, nailed the Boston pick, nailed the Houston pick, nailed the Clippers changed. Just missed out on Philly. They're 8.5. They lost by 9. Missed out on the OKC cover as well, because they just sort of gave up a bucket late, which is pretty annoying, or else they would have had to basically win by 11. But anyway, but we nailed the New York one because they won by 12 and they were 10.5. So 4 of 7. 4 of 6? 4 of 6. I'll take that. Tomorrow, though, there's some interesting games tomorrow. We've got Phoenix at Charlotte with the Suns on a back-to-back. Charlotte running absolutely everything through Miller and Bridges at the moment, and a bit of Micic, which I love. The Suns, 9.5-point favorites, though. You feel like they probably won't risk Beal in this one. They might still try to trot out Booker, maybe KD, but even then, they should probably still be 10 points too good for Charlotte. So I'll take the Suns on the road in Charlotte, because the Suns need to keep on winning. I feel like they know that, too. They've got to keep their noses in front of Dallas and try to keep putting the pressure on the Pelicans and stuff and the Kings ahead of them. Detroit hosts Miami. Now, we know that Detroit played the Wizards pretty hard. At home, they're getting 6.5 points. I'm going to take Detroit again. Cade, Richie, Cunningham, I don't know, man. I just feel like they can play tough. As long as Cade's not hurt, I'll take Detroit, because he did sit out the fourth quarter the other day. Miami are the sort of team that will just sort of screw around every so often. Let's take the Pistons +6.5 at home. Orlando, 6.5-point favorites on the road in Toronto. I'll take that in a heartbeat. Toronto, look, the sad situation around RJ, like, that's just horrible. Orlando should probably go in there and win that, though. They are fighting tooth and nail with the Knicks for the 4 seed. Toronto are basically in tank mode. Clippers, New Orleans. I think the Pelicans will win this. This is the 4-5 seed in the West. I think the Pelicans have won 4 of the last 5 against the Clippers and have covered, I think, 7 of the last 8 against the Clippers at home. So I'll take the Pelicans -6.5. Clippers, they don't have much size. Pelicans have got plenty of that. Pels at home should be a little bit too tough for a Clippers team that's on the back-to-back, like a road back-to-back. So two games on the road, back-to-back. It might be a little bit tough for them. Denver -9.5 in San Antonio. Actually, in Austin, I believe that one is. It's like South by Southwest. What's going on? I'll take the Nuggets still to smash the Spurs -9.5. And Atlanta go to Utah. Utah have given up the ghost. Let's go Hawks -1.5. It's nice that that's actually pretty low. Sunday, we've got Cleveland at Houston. It's a weird, weird matchup. I'm going to go the Cavs, though, because Donnie Mitchell's back. They're looking pretty good. Indy host Brooklyn. They should smash Brooklyn, who have just given up on their season. Philly host Charlotte. They should be too good for the tanking Hornets. Portland go to New Orleans. Even on a back-to-back, I still trust the Pelicans to cover that Blazers game. Just send you back to some of those amazing Dame Lillard, Anthony Davis playoff series. Washington, Chicago, we'll go the Bulls, even without Kobe White. I think they should be too good for the Wizards. OKC at Memphis, you'll have OKC every day of the week. Lakers, Golden State. I'm taking the Lakers at home against the Warriors. Even if Steph Curry comes back, might have to blow off some of the rust. Minnesota go to Utah, they should win that. And the Knickerbockers play in Sacramento. I like the... Ooh, I'm going to go the Knicks, actually, in Sacramento. Their defense might be a little bit too tough for that Kings team. Then Monday, we've got a 4 a.m. start with a replay of, what was it, the 2022 finals? 21. Bucks-Suns, 21. Bucks-Suns was 21. That's at 4 a.m. I'm going to go the Milwaukee Bucks at home against the Suns. Defense might be a little bit more trustworthy than the Suns on the road. Miami go to Detroit again. I'll take Miami, obviously, to win that one head-to-head in the second matchup. I'd probably lean on them to cover the second one, too. Denver go to Dallas. That's a great game. I'm going to take the Nugs on the road in Dallas. Don't know if the Mavs can really keep up. It's going to be an interesting game, though. Luka might come back. If Luka comes back, I might actually give the Mavs a bit of a shot at that, because between Gafford and Lively, maybe they've got enough size up front to combat them. I might actually swing that to Dallas. Yeah. Toronto, they're in Orlando. It's the old home and home. I'm going to go to the Magic Men again, back-to-back wins. Boston go to Washington. The Celtics will definitely win that. Brooklyn go to San Antonio. I think Brooklyn will just sneak one out with the Wembanyama vibes out there. I feel like Brooklyn might just pull one out of their ash. And then Atlanta versus the Clippers. I think the Clippers will win that one in LA pretty handily. Brooklyn San Antonio does worry me a lot, obviously. Brooklyn still playing their dudes, though. Cam Thomas, Mikal Bridges. I'd probably go San Antonio at the line if they're underdogs. Be interesting. Very interesting. But that's it for today. That's it for this week. It's been a long week. Your mate Jim's doing a lot of shows. But that means you got to make sure you go and subscribe to the AFL Today Show if you like your AFL footy, because that's the one I host with the guys. It's a good time. It's a fun time. Just trying to, you know, hang out, talk footy, not get too serious and in the weeds or too journalistic about it all, and just celebrate a bit of footy. That's what it's all about. So go subscribe to that. Check that out and this show out as well on YouTube. No bloody video for today or yesterday, just because I don't know what's happened to my stuff, but we'll figure that out. Anyway, of course, you can follow AFL Today as well as NBA Australia across all the socials and get around Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast for your cricket and soccer needs, and NFL Australia with myself and Gaz. Check us a rating review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever app you use on an Android phone. It really does help. Please make sure you subscribe on the YouTube, on the fucking, you know, bloody podcast services, all that stuff. Help a brother out, would you? I don't ask for much. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop and get your merch. I am asking for that as well, but anyway. Big thanks always go to From Ozzo for the intro and outro song. Check out House Hats, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sexshadow, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Remember, NBA Australia Sports Strand Bands. And we'll close out with a classic Cooking with Bainesy for you. And we'll talk to you on Monday, you dickheads. But we will actually have an AFL Today show out on Sunday night to wrap up all things footy at the end of the round. First thing, as soon as that Brisbane Frio game is done on Sunday, we're all over it. So AFL Today show, get right around it. You can listen to me talk other sports as well. Hooray. All right, we'll catch you Monday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying look after yourselves, would you? And later, Hosanna.
Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a socially distanced live studio audience.
And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. G'day. G'day, yeah. Oh, look at you all there. All nice and separated. Oh, I love having a live audience back. This is bloody great, isn't it? Oh, there's Cheryl. Hello, Cheryl. Look at you. Oh, too happy to be here. Oh, that's bloody great. Anyway, yes, welcome back to Cooking with Bainesy. I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Bainesy. Just recuperating from fall and stuff and everything, but still out here chefing for you. And that's what we're here for in this here episode. I've been learning some new cooking techniques, and this one is an absolute bloody ripper. I'll tell you what, because today we are going to whip up one of my absolute favourites. It is an absolute delicacy no matter where you go in the world. You can have whenever. That iconic classic. It's good for brekkie, lunch, dinner, midnight snack. That's right. It's steak. That's right. Bloody steak. That's right. I love me steaks. I'll tell you what. And you can follow along with my cooking method because it's easy as, mate. It definitely helps keep up this physique, if you know what I mean. Protein, baby. There you go. So, it is bloody simple, isn't it? All you gotta do is go down to your butcher. His name's probably Vasily. Ask him to go, look, Vasily, give me two bloody steaks. And you go, what type of steak? And he's like, doesn't matter. Just whatever tickles your fancy, Vasily. None of that Wagyu bullshit nonsense. Just give me two good-looking steaks. Two good bloody steaks. Now, make sure you've got a barbie, some oil, and some salt and pepper. And that's it. Fire up your barbie. Get it nice and hot. There you go. Hey, there you go. Yeah, bit of oil. Yeah. Then season your steaks ever so lightly with a bit of salt and pepper. Just a bit of a pinch. There you go. And then grab your steak.
bang it on. Now, don't fucking touch it. None of yours. Leave it alone. Don't fucking fiddle with it. Just sit back, grab a tin, and 3.5 minutes later, flip that fucker over. There you go. Oop, there you go. Hey! Now, leave it alone again. Don't fucking touch it. You heard me. You fuck, don't touch it. Simple as 3.5 more minutes, and look at that. There you bloody go. Look at this one. Oh, can't wait to get stuck. Oh, but you can't. You got to let it rest for 5 minutes. Let it sit there. Let it hang out. And that'll be perfectly medium if you want it. You can go rare if you want. You can go hardcore if you want. But either way, that, my friends, is Bob's Your Fucking Uncle, isn't it? Look at it. It's an absolute ripper of a brekkie lunch or dinner. Fucking good old steak. Ah, oh, it's just bloody delicious. Oh, and look, I'm just going to get stuck with this one now. I will. That old dead sitting precious Sheila's, don't you worry about that. Oh, if you know how to cook a steak, you're a long way ahead in life. That's all I know. And if you want to get fancy, have some veggies with it if you want. I love a bit of potato salad. Whip that up. I think we've done one before, so go check that out. It's fucking unreal. All right, how easy was that? Get stuck into it. Do it at home yourselves on your own barbie. You'll bloody love it. Learn how to cook a steak, and everybody will bloody respect you. All right, tune in to NBA Australia next time for a new recipe, and we'll see yous then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.